Cooks. Welcome to another episode of the Field and Garden Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Mason Ziegler, and I really appreciate you joining me here. And today is week two of Seed Starting Saturday. And if you haven't listened to week one, that is episode number 89. And these two episodes are really about the steps that most people don't know about. They don't think about it. They don't give much thought to it. But yet, sometimes they just keep hitting the wall of not having success. And often, it's kind of rooted in skipping over some of these things that I have come to consider the ground rules of seed starting and kind of getting your peas in a row before you jump in. Because, y'all, nothing is more disappointing than starting seeds and either having them not sprout or having them sprout and then watching them get really ugly really fast because of, all kinds of different reasons. Bad temperature, not enough light. There's a lot of different things that can go. So week two is a continuation basically, or the next step from week one. So week one, we learned a little bit about what kind of seeds do you have. Are they cool season or warm season? Trying to gather your facts. And this week is more about planning and gathering and writing on our calendar, which, you know, if we haven't been together very long, you don't realize that my real secret weapon is my whole farming operation is run from one large jumbo wall calendar. And you don't have to have a jumbo one if you're a home gardener, but you need to have a place that you sit down and figure out the facts of when do you start that seed? When are you supposed to plant those out in the garden? And mark those things on your calendar. And it's not that you're going to stick to that rigid schedule, but you're going to at least be able, as life gets busier, as spring and summer come, you have a place to go look and say, oh my goodness, next week or this week, I'm supposed to order or start or be planting or whatever. So it's really a guiding light for me to do that in the dead of winter and to have a real reality check. So this week, we're writing on that calendar. We're talking about why you need heat and grow lights if you want to be a super successful seed starter inside. And what a lot of people don't understand, it's not just being successful. When you grow healthy transplants, they are more resistant to disease and pests later in their life. And they just hit the ground running and they'll be more abundant. So there really are reasons to follow along with a few steps. So let's take a listen to week two of Seed Starting Saturday, planning and gathering. So this week, we're going to mark up our calendar with the information that you've gathered, your frost dates, when you're going to plant, start seeds in the cool season family. You know, there's cool season, there's warm season. And last week I went into how you figure out which group your seeds are in. And we're going to mark the calendar up. So let's take a look at my calendar here. You can see I have a lot of calendars here. There's actually, I think, 6 years worth of calendars plus my new calendar. And in place of having a computer database or a garden journal, this is my garden journal. I find this to work the best for me. So this one's blank. I haven't written but a couple of things on it. See, I can turn back to all the different months and see all the seeds we started, when we harvested things. So it's a real easy reference for me. So you take whichever calendar you're going to use, and I would recommend that you perhaps have a standard calendar so that you can build. This is building a database for you, and having them all uniform just makes it easier. So the first thing you're going to mark on the calendar is your last expected frost date. For me, here in southeastern Virginia, I'm on April, and I mark last expected frost date. And we know that cool season seeds can be planted 6 to 8 weeks before this frost date, right? Whether we're talking about planting transplants or seeds in the garden. So I turn back and I count back 6 weeks and I mark 6 weeks on here. This is in March, so that's March 4th. That's 6 weeks. And then I go back and mark the 8 week mark, which is, you know, it's just counting mid-February. So those are when my target dates are. So what'll happen is I go to my list of cool season flowers. I know that they can all be planted at 6 to 8 weeks. I may not be able to plant them all then, but I know that I usually put them on my calendar the earliest date they can be planted because I can easily arrow them forward if I don't get to them. So the next markings you're going to put on your calendar is, when do you have to start those seeds to have them ready to go to the garden at your 6 to 8 week target planting dates, right? So then you can count back even further on your calendar. So for instance, stock, which is something that we plant as a cool season flower. It is a really great germinator. We're going to look at some in just a minute because we started some on Friday. We had a little bit of time and I'll let you see that. But stock is a quick germinator and a pretty quick grower. In general, fast seeds that sprout fairly quickly tend to grow quickly. So we went ahead and started our stock. So I'm going to count back 3 to 4 weeks from my first plant date, and that is the date that I would have listed stock on my seed starting calendar of when I can start those seeds. And then you just start compiling. You start figuring out, and it doesn't have to be precise. You know, you can list everything. If you could start everything at the end of January so that they're all ready to be planted at a certain time when you can plant, you can do that. You just kind of figure out, but you get the seeds on the calendar when you need to start them. Okay, so, and this is what it kind of looks like when you're, this is a year that's obviously passed, and these lists, and I recommend using a pencil so you can erase, do not use a pen, and I am guilty as charged. I don't like to scribble out on my calendar, but use a pencil. And so we write on here what seeds we're starting, what color, if there's multiple colors, and how many. We soil block. So we list by trays of 240. So, you know, here's one. This is straw flowers. We grow a lot of straw flowers, and we grow different colors. And so next to them are written 720. That means that's three trays of each color. So this is the information you write. We use a highlighter, the yellow highlighter, to mark it off when it's done. That way everybody knows it. That way, if you don't get to it, you can just see it on your calendar. It's really simple and easy for everyone to see. So hopefully that will help you. After you get your cool season kind of figured out, then you can move on to the warm season. But I would recommend that you use a pencil. And don't write real hard so you can erase, because once you kind of get it, it kind of all falls into place. And then I go on to write on the calendar when I have to have my garden ready to receive the plants. And so that is just how we mark up our calendar, which is really the foundation of our whole seed starting. And if you do this in a manner of a uniform, easy to read, you can keep these calendars. You don't have to have a big one like this if you're a gardener. Farmers really benefit from this really big calendar. But use the same size calendar each year and you just pile them up, and that is your garden journal. You don't have to have a whole separate journal. So that is what we're going to do on the calendar, but I want to talk now just very briefly about direct sowing. So here is what I do for direct sowing. We do virtually no direct sowing in the garden in early spring because it's not quite as successful as it is when you're able to do it in the fall if a plant is hardy in your area and you're able to get it planted. Seeds need warmth to germinate, right? So the spring is the opposite of fall. Fall is warm early, right? Because we're still coming out of summer and it's moving into cold. Spring is the opposite. It's cold moving into warm. So the seeds just don't germinate as quickly. But guess what does germinate quickly? The weed seedlings just flourish in early spring. So it's more laborious. It can be done. I have done it. But I do everything in my power to get direct seeded stuff done in the fall. And if it has to be done in the spring, I tend to wait to the 4 weeks before the last frost date. So we're at least having some warm days to help push them along, because it just takes longer, more chores, more weeds. And the last thing you have time to do in spring is hoe more seed beds. So let's talk about gathering supplies now. Nothing is worse than running out of blocking mix or seed starting mix or not having enough seeds. So first, I always start a third more seeds than we need plants. Things happen. Not everybody germinates. Not everybody thrives. So we always start more. You have something else to do with those plants. You can share them. You can compost them, which is a good thing. Or if you were to have to lose plants out in the garden, which really shouldn't happen, you have something to plug it in, or if a rabbit or somebody comes. So start a third more seeds. You need to gather up all the seeds you want to start and put them out. You know, you can put them in a little box and put them by month. That's what we tend to do, is all the seeds that are started in February, all the seeds that started in March, and that just helps you get them together. Get your blocking mix. What are you using for trays? Do you have enough trays? Because once you start all these seeds, if you only have 5 trays, that's not going to go very far once you've started, because these aren't out of the trays before you have to start more stuff. So these are all things you want to really think about. The other two things that are, it's equipment that you need, I just want to share with you why you need to use heat and light, indoor grow lights. Seeds will germinate more evenly and more quickly when the soil gets warm and everybody sprouts at the same time. That is a big part of quick and easy, y'all. If you don't use a heat mat, you will have very spotty germination, if at all, depending on what seed it is. And it just draws out. So if only a few germinate, you really need to move those to light and the rest of them haven't sprouted. When they all get warm, they sprout. A seed starting seedling heat mat is probably the number one reason people struggle with getting seeds to sprout inside. So it's just one step in the process, but it is so important and really affects the quality of your plants. So once you make your blocks or you sow your trays and you put them on the seed starting mat, they all get warm and they germinate at different rates. So this is the example I'm going to tell you of why you should never mix even varieties within a family. For instance, we had this happen 2 years ago, tomatoes. We start a lot of tomatoes here. We start them in the small blocks. And when I say we start a lot, we don't start 240, which is a whole tray, of each variety. We start like 80 of each variety of like 10 or 12 different varieties. Well, trying to save space, I said, oh, just put 3 or 4 varieties on one tray. They're all tomatoes, right? Wrong. They were all tomatoes, but they don't all sprout the same. We grow a lot of heirlooms, a couple of hybrids, and all the heirlooms started popping. They were doing beautifully, but there was one row of Roma tomatoes, which we grow a lot of, that just sat there. And I thought, ah, that seed must be old or dead, or what's up with that? So all the other tomatoes on that tray sprouted almost 100%. Romas were still sitting there. So we had to use a pancake spatula to take the romas off, and we put them on their own little tray as they should have been in the beginning, and left them on heat and moved everybody else to light. Guess what?
Those Roma tomatoes actually germinated at like day 10, 100%. Seeds germinate at different timetables. So that's why you should really just use one tray. So heat's really, really important. Once 50% of them sprout, as those other tomatoes did, you need to move them to grow lights. A grow light will sit right on top of the seedlings, and that keeps the seedlings from growing tall, lanky, and getting yellow. When that's happening to you, when plants are stretching, they're seeking out light. For a seedling to stay short and stocky and healthy, which grows better in the garden, which produces more and is more disease resistant, it needs 16 hours of light a day. We don't have 16 hours of light a day. So that's why a grow light is essential. And you can check out our website. If you go to those items on the store, there's related videos to tell you more about those. So gather your supplies. You got to have mix, you have to have seeds, you have to have a heat mat, and you have to have a light source to really make this quick and easy. So I want to just show you, I was telling you about that we started some stock here on Friday. So these were started last week and they are just now starting to pop. You can just see, you can't see the details, but almost every one of them has a little sprout. They have not been watered yet this morning. So they are very dry. I'll do that after we do our video. And so these are about 3 or 4 days out. And so this is kind of what, because they do tend to sprout so quickly, stock this is a plant that'll grow quickly. And because I already have a space in the garden ready and waiting for these plants, I felt okay starting them a little bit earlier because there's a place to receive them. So gather your supplies, get your calendar ready, and then I want to give you some other tips on facts that as you're researching your seeds that you might want to also include. And you can put it on your calendar or you can put it in a database, whatever, you know, floats your boat. But the other couple tips is, does the seed need to be covered or not when you plant it? That means the difference between the seed needs light to germinate, which means you don't cover it, or the seed needs darkness to germinate, which means you do cover it. Key piece of information, and every seed is just about, you can't count on one way for everything. And then what temperature does your seed need to sprout? This isn't always easy information to find out, but here's what I find to be successful. Cool season seeds like it cooler, right? But they still need a consistent warmth to sprout. So what I do for cool season seeds is I use my seed starting heat mat, and in the room that I start seeds in, if we keep the door shut, it gets really, really hot in there. I keep the door open when we're growing cool season seeds, so the air temperature is cooler, but the heat is there. That is hands down the most success we've ever had. Once we start warm season stuff, we close that door, it climbs to 90, 95 degrees in there, and that just pushes seeds like zinnias and things like that along. So I hope that this has answered some of your questions, and gather your stuff. Next week, we're gonna. I'll start some seeds, and we'll see. Kind of go into my plant room and see what we're doing in there. And so, please post your questions down below, and your comments. Please like us, comment, and share it, and sign up. And I'll see you here next week for week number 3 of Seed Starting Saturdays. Thanks.
All right, friends. So I'm going to put in the show notes down below a link to our website, thegardenersworkshop.com, to the seed equipment, to the seeds, just some of these things that can help you, guide you along the way, because we have lots of videos over on our website. Basically, we are an online garden shop and learning center. And the learning center includes this podcast. I have a blog. There are tons of videos. And then we also offer online courses. We offer workshops in big schools, So if you want to do deep dives, we got you covered. But if you're looking for bits and pieces on how to do things, soil blocking, and many others, just head on over to thegardenersworkshop.com and we'd love to meet you. So friends, till we meet again, ciao.